In Iran this week, authorities freed a legislator who had been jailed for speaking out against government hardliners. The release came as political tensions over his imprisonment had been heating up. In this country, the son of the former Shah of Iran is speaking out publicly against the Islamic government in his homeland. Reza Pahlavi has lived in the U.S. since 1984, following the Iranian Revolution of 1979 that replaced the Shah with a theocratic regime. Pahlavi has been urging Iranian citizens to protest by engaging in nonviolent civil disobedience. He's also been meeting with U.S. congressional representatives to push his campaign for reform in Iran. Mr. Pahlavi outlines his ideas in a new book called Winds of Change, The Future of Democracy in Iran. Reza Pahlavi joins me now in the studio. Mr. Pahlavi, you've said that one way to counter extremism in Islamic countries is to support what you call forces of democratization. But how does one support those forces? How would the U.S., let's say, support those forces?
Well, first of all, as we speak, if you take Iran, for example, today, we have recent cases of students organizing demonstrations. Today, we have teachers in schools that are organizing protests, marches, eventually even strikes. These are the kind of tangible elements that are at work in a country like Iran today. What the people are hoping to see happen from the outside world is that for a government, shall we say, that of the United States, to identify with the needs of the people, their demand for democracy, their demand for secularism, their demand for self-determination. On the other hand, not cutting deals with the current regime, not pursuing short-term economic interest at the expense of human interest. These are the tangible and practical ways of implementing such a policy of encouraging democratization, which by definition will discourage extremism and radicalism.
Mr. Pahlavi, you've met with members of Congress, yes, with Speaker of the House, Dennis Hastert, and also some other members. Now, what did you hope to accomplish, and what kind of response did you get?
Well, I was very pleased with the receptivity of members of Congress, which is indicative of the fact that today's politicians are reexamining the overall aspect of U.S. foreign policy vis-a-vis the region and Iran in particular. The need to respond to that signal that the people of Iran have been sending is pervasive, and the discussions were surrounding that. How can we return this signal to the Iranian people? Americans in particular have to remember that the images they should remember of Iran is not the images of 23 years ago when the hostages were taken in the U.S. embassy in Tehran. The images they should remember is of today's youth that are totally non-responsible because they were not even born then, who held candlelight vigils in support of America the day after the terrorist attack in New York. These are the people of Iran and their aspirations.
It's my understanding that you've encouraged ordinary Iranian citizens to campaign for change in government, number one, and number two, a separation of mosque and state. Now, how confident are you that these two goals can be achieved?
I'm absolutely confident that my compatriots today, in terms of political awareness and the need for legitimate democratization, fully understand that such a democratic ideal cannot ever be achieved unless there is separation of mosque from state. Now, an interesting element that maybe most people in the outside world don't realize is that the clergy itself is one of the most natural partner of this desire today. Because even the revolutionary clerics, who 23 years ago participated in support of Khomeini's revolution, have come to realize that as a result of direct intervention of the church into the affairs of state, our religion itself has been damaged, and whatever reverence that our clergy used to enjoy vis-a-vis the people is now lost. Everything that is negative in Iran is in the name of religion and the clergy. And while the majority of them have never been part of this regime, they're suffering the consequences of that perception.
Mr. Pahlavi, the population of Iran is by and large very young. 75% of the population is under 25. That means most people were born after the revolution, 1979 revolution. So how do they even, when you speak, you're of a completely different generation. Why should they listen to you?
Well, first of all, I think that what I've been saying has been the same thing for 21 years. The difference is that today the world is willing to listen.
Wait, you say you've been speaking out the same way for all these years?
I have been maintaining the same positions that I'm describing to you today from the very beginning. But the fact is that this new generation that has come of age is now realizing the consequences of what happened. They see what is in store for them in the future, what could be in store for them for the future, and where they want to go. And what I'm describing is resonating in Iran today. I know this because of the multitude of communication that I have with Iran on a routine basis. My website has received more than 29 million hits. Every day we receive hundreds of emails from inside Iran. And my campaign calls for a movement of political civil disobedience with the hope of reaching a stage when we can conduct a national referendum with the participation of all diverse Iranian political groups under international observations, to therefore determine what kind of democratic government the people of Iran want to opt for themselves in the future beyond this system.
You know, Mr. Pahlavi, some of your critics would say, look, let's be honest, Iran was not a democracy before the revolution, and so it's not a democracy now. Perhaps your goal is really just to go back and become a leader, become a Shah yourself.
Look, this is not about me. If you look at what Iranians are asking today in terms of self-determination, clearly they don't have it. And the point is that we will pursue self-determination until we finally get it. The predicaments of Iran's future generation is completely different than the generation of yesteryear. And whatever happened in the past, good or bad, is really irrelevant to what is happening in Iran today and what needs to happen in the future. Never mind my name and never mind my background. I am committed to democracy because I believe in the validity and the importance of that. And the choice has to be left to the Iranian people. That has been my argument all along. Let them decide what's best for them. Let them assess what is the best system for themselves, what model they want to have. And the only preoccupation that I have today is to reach to the phase where the people will go to the polls and on the day of the referendum decides the country's future. That is the end line for me. That's my goal. And that day, I consider my mission in life done. And I remain to serve my country in whatever capacity that the people will choose.
Do you have any evidence that your efforts, this campaign of yours, as you call it, is having an effect?
I think it has tremendous effect because if it wasn't so, I wouldn't be directly receiving responses by the leaders of the current government. Mr. Khamenei and Mr. Khatami and even Mr. Rafsanjani have been directly responding to the statements that have been made, to comments that I have made, and they have engaged this argument. And certainly they would not have done that unless they thought it was a serious situation.
Reza Pahlavi, his book is called Winds of Change. Thank you, Mr. Pahlavi.
Thank you for having me.